I want to get started with my sermon series. Again, summer in the Psalms. And as we walk through Psalms every summer has songs. I think back to songs that I love from the summer that just remind me of certain things. And this psalm that I'm going to do today is Psalms 103, and we'll pull it up in a minute. But David wrote this psalm, and he said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits." Go back for me one slide. Go back for me. He said, "Who forgive me of all my iniquities, who heal me of all my disease, rescue me from destruction, crown my life with loving kindness, and satisfy my life with good things." He said, "Forget not his benefits." And I'm picking a track every week that goes with the sermon. And the track this week I'm going to pick, you can go to my next slide now, and is "Remember the Time." You know the great poet of old, Michael Jackson. And he sung a song, "Remember the Time." And whenever you think of Psalms 103, you probably never thought you'd correlate it. All right, man. I want you to correlate "Remember the Time." Remember the time God blessed you. Remember the time God brought you out. I'm not even getting ready to start preach yet, but can anybody think of something God did for you know you couldn't do for yourself? Can anybody think of a horrible mess you got yourself in and somehow, some way God brought you out? That's enough reason right there just to tell God, thank you. Let's go to my first slide here. He says, first thing I want to give you is that everybody should bless the Lord. Psalms 103 says this. It starts out, it says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits." That word "bless" means worship and praise God. And he said, "O my soul." So before the 60s and before the 70s ever hit, David knew something about soul music. Anybody know something about soul music in here? Your spirit knows who God is, but your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions need to be reminded that God is real. Because your mind can believe a lie even though your spirit knows that something is real. So when you bless the Lord from your soul, you do it with everything that's in you. You don't hide behind your gift, your talent, your degrees, your money, your mystique, and all these things. You just think of the goodness of Jesus and say, "Listen, you don't know like I know what God has done for me." And here's the thing about soul music. All music, I believe music can come from God, but all music doesn't go back to God. Some music goes to people. It talks about living a better life. Some music goes back to God. They call it Christian music, gospel music, where we worship who God is. But here's the thing about soul music. Soul music will make you forget you don't know how to dance. Soul music will have you on the dance floor dancing, and nobody says, "Come out here." Soul music, when it's sung about God, will have you lifting your hands and have tears in your eyes, because all you got to do is think of the goodness of Jesus when you have a relationship with him. Soul music will have you riding down the road with no music playing, and you think of all the times that God did great things for you. Soul music will have you doing tremendous things. I'm not really doing soul music the best service right now. So I got some guys that are going to help me out. Can you show them what soul music sounds like? Help me out there, Ben.
Whoa, whoa.
Church, you trying to hold your knee down because you know you want to rock, you want to move with it. So I don't know, but soul music will have you moving and nobody telling you to move. It just wakes something up on the inside of you because it's called. Watch out now, make you want to grab your boo and get to the dance floor. Mm-hmm. I almost ended early and left with Barbara and said, God bless you. Goodbye now. And finally, farewell. Soul music makes you move. Nobody told you to dance. Nobody told you to move. But it moves something on the inside you. I told you all music that comes from God doesn't go back to God. Sometimes it goes to people about a better life. And that's what Frankie Beverly and Maze did. But there's other soul music that as soon as you hear it, it strikes a chord because it's about God.
Sounds a little like this.
God will do what he said he would do. See, he stands by his word. He will come through. No weapon formed against me shall prosper.
Yeah.
It won't work. No weapon formed against me shall prosper.
Yeah.
It won't work. See, because God will do what he said he would do. See, he'll stand by his word. See, he will come through. Because God will do what he said. See, because he stands by his word. Because he will come through. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. It won't work. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. It won't work.
Yeah. Stay right there, Rick. Stay right there, Rick. Rick, stay right there. Stay right there. Soul music. You'll wake up in the morning. Rick, grab that mic. No music. Toughest day of your life. Facing you right in the face. And you may not be able to sing, but this will come out of your spirit. Just come back with the chorus. God will do.
God will do what he said he would.
Biggest presentation of your life.
And by his word.
Biggest attack of your life.
He will come through.
Biggest game of your life.
God will.
I don't care what you're facing.
What he said.
I don't care what the enemy's telling you. God will do.
Stand by his word.
What?
He will come through.
Yeah. Can we just bless God right there? That's why David said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. It goes beyond what people think of you. There was a point in my life I was very conscious. I wanted people to think the right thing of me. And I remember being in church with my friends, and I knew that God was speaking to me. And I'd sit there and tears welling up in my eyes. But, man, my friends couldn't do for me what God did. And they didn't know what God had rescued me from. And I finally just had to say, God, for you I'll live, and for you I'll die. You're the best thing that ever happened to me. So David said, bless his holy name. I encountered a guy, and he said, man, I'm not emotional like that. You guys can have that worship. You can have that praise. And he said, matter of fact, I haven't been good enough. He would have had to sign and said, I'll try again next week. He just said, I ain't been good enough to worship God. So he said, I feel fake when I do it. And I said, you're praising God for the wrong reason. You don't praise and worship God because you're good. You praise him because he's good. And even when you're bad, he's still good. God doesn't change who he is because of who what you've done and because of who you are. On the worst day of my life, I'll bless him.
Yes.
On the best day of my life, I'll bless him because he doesn't change who he is. And he said, forget not his benefits. Serving God has benefits. Here's the thing about benefits. Most of you guys in here have a job or some type of healthcare coverage. They didn't create that coverage the day you were born or the day you started working. They had that before you ever stepped a foot on that job. God has benefits for you. And you don't have to be self-conscious or guilty about using them. Some of you right now, it took you everything to come to church today because you were waiting. He gonna make me feel bad about myself. I cussed that person out last week. I did this, I did that. And you're waiting for the load to hit you. But I want you to forget not all of his benefits. Because in spite of all the things you've done, God is still good. And forgetting is a mental thing, so you got to jar your soul sometimes and say, you got to remind yourself, God's going to do what he said he's going to do. Anybody remind yourself, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Let me go to my next slide here. I'm going to give you five benefits of a relationship with God. The first thing it says, he forgives all of my iniquities. Somebody say all. Somebody say it again. Say it again. God doesn't forgive just one of your sins, and he's got a few of them that he's hanging over your head. The moment you say, forgive me, God erases your slate and justifies you. He treats you as if you've never done a thing. Can you give me the two bags up under you, Barbara? The two bags. Can I ask you a question? It's probably one of the most the simple question you've been asked all day. Do you get clean before you get in the shower or after you get in the shower? After. Most of the time you get in the shower, you're dirty, right? And you encounter something called soap. Most of us want to get ourselves together before we approach God. We want to get ourselves, like, I got to get all my stuff together. I got to get all this stuff right. Then I'm going to go to church. I'm going to find me a good woman. Then I'm going to get married. Listen, you don't have to clean yourself up before you come to God. God is the one that cleans you up. All the cleaning up you can do is not good enough to do what God can do in your life. You all right in here? God, here's the thing. People say, I can come to God just as you are. You come to God just as you are, but he'll never leave you as you are. God will accept all of us, but one encounter with God will change your life. It's like letting you taste victory. It's like letting you taste success. Once you taste it, you'll never be the same. Every time you think of forgiveness, there's a lady that goes here, her name is Shatiqua. She has this company called It's Plush, and she makes soap and body butters and all that stuff like that. So I want to give two people a gift. I have a guy who just wants, it's a soap here and body butter and all that stuff. Like, can I give this away? Is there a guy here, John Weston, you want to get this? And is there a lady in here? I got one for a lady in here. Anybody want to, just right here, Janita, come on. I got it for you. John Wesley, take it to her back there. Every time you encounter your shower, every time you encounter soap, I want you to think of, he forgives all my iniquities. He's the one that cleans me. I can't cleanse myself. No matter how hard you try, it's not till you submit to the hand of God that God can clean you up. You're all right in here. The next thing is this. Go to my next slide. He said, who heals all your diseases. Somebody say all. This is talking about sickness as a result of penalty. This is things you did to yourself. This is things that happened as a result of things that you did. You may have lived a loose lifestyle, and now you've contracted something, or you ate pork every single day, and now your ankles are run out the side of your shoes, and you can't see straight because your blood pressure's high. And you said, Lord, I did this to myself. He will heal. Somebody say, oh. I know sugar running your family, but you ate fudge and brownies, and you just took sugar and just poured it down your mouth. Your Kool-Aid just syrup. You know what I'm talking about? You don't even measure it. Just dump it in there. And now you got all kind of issues going. God will heal you of your disease. Not so you can drink more syrupy Kool-Aid. Not so you can eat bacon. I'm not nothing wrong with bacon. But do it in moderation. But so that you can function the way he called you to function. And I don't care who you are in here. I don't care what's going on in your body. My God is a healer. And I know what people have told you, that God is the one giving people cancer. God is the one giving people AIDS. God is the one making people sick. God can't give you what he does not have. He don't have cancer in heaven. We live in a curse and a fallen earth. And yes, sickness happens, but my God is a healer. And he will heal all of your diseases, not just physically, but your mental conditions. I believe in God. If you have a child in here who's suffering with attention deficit and all these things, I believe God can heal it in the name of Jesus. Him, I know I'm telling the truth in here. Next thing is this. He forgives my iniquities. He heals my disease. Then he redeems my life from destruction. Anybody ever been in a pit before? Anybody's car ever been physically stuck in the mud? and you knew what it took to get you out. Let me go beyond that. Has anybody ever jacked their life up to the point where they said, God, if you don't get me out of this, I don't know how I'm going to make it forward. I serve a God who will bring you out of the pit and you won't have a speck of mud on you. Here's the great thing about God. You don't look like what you've been through. Touch your neighbor and say, neighbor, thank God. I've been through a lot, but I don't look like what I've been through. Anybody glad that God will restore your swagger, that God will restore your joy, and people wouldn't even know half the story? In this room, many people have been through rejection, molestation, abuse, and all these things, and God has you beautified with salvation in the name of Jesus. He will rescue you from the pit. Here's the thing about it. Satan had a plan for your life, but God stepped in. You think you've been through some stuff, but Satan was trying to kill you, and God said, not so. Through your whole life, there have been plots to set you up, and you had no idea. That's the reason you didn't go to that party that night, and three people got killed, and you didn't go. That's the reason why you couldn't date that person. That's the reason why you couldn't move there, because God put his hedge of protection over you. That's the reason you're here today, because God still has a plan and a purpose for your life. Somebody say, he redeems me from destruction. Somebody say, he redeems me from crazy. Because some of you have dated crazy. Some of you have been crazy. Some of you are right now, you're saying, don't push me because I'm close to the edge. Some of you right now are just 2 seconds from cussing somebody out and snapping on somebody. But God is the one keeping your temper. He's the one that's keeping you right now. Next one is this. He says this. Another benefit. He crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Many of you are still wearing the crown of thorns that Jesus wore, which was your shame and guilt. I come to tell you, you don't have to walk around guilty for the rest of your life. I don't care what you've done. My God is a redeemer, and he honors you. Why do you walk around with confidence? It ain't arrogance. I'm a king's kid. I'm royalty. You don't have to appreciate who I am for me to think I'm somebody. Once God puts his hand on your life, you don't ever have to compare yourself to anybody else. I love myself, so I ought to buy me just some blank tennis shoes. Write my name on the side of them and wear them. Every single time I think that much about myself, because I'm a king's kid. I don't need your validation to be who I am. I need friends. I need relationships. But I'm not looking for you to co-sign for me to be confident in who I am. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I look myself in the mirror and say, God, you did a wonderful job when you made this one right here. I don't care if you're a size 4 or a size 40. You are fearfully and wonderfully. Don't you let nobody make you question yourself. You may make mistakes, but I'm still fearfully and wonderfully made. Say, God has honored me. Let me go to my next slide here. He says, verse 5, he satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. He satisfies you means he changes your desire to what satisfies you. I know I should drink more water, and when I go to lunch or I go to dinner with somebody that's drinking water, I see some of y'all walking with these gallon jugs, I'm going to knock it down. Man, drink a Coke, drink a Pepsi, tea, put lemonade in it, just sugar, and just something. And y'all drinking this water and feeling healthy. Talking about, I just got all my energy and I'm tired and halfway through the day. Y'all won't believe what's happening. The Lord is changing my desire, and I'm starting to like water. Last night I went out to eat. I had a pineapple juice, orange juice, and I put some grenadine in it. Right there to bless your life. And I chased it with some water. I did. I said, one cup, and we're going to have water after that. You know what God does? You know what the amazing thing is? Before God ever gives you a thing, he changes your desire. Because some of you, the life you're living now was boring 10 years ago. Crazy with you was running from the police, fighting every day, cussing folks out on social media, and you mad and just got 10 girls fussing at you, people blowing your life up, and now you go home. You go to bed. You go to work. You pay bills. You're on the dean's list. You're just doing kind of, you ain't got looking over your shoulder. You the police drive by and you wave. Years ago, you trying to find a side road, hoping they don't see you. You know what I'm talking about in here? You have peace now because God satisfied your life with good things because he shows you what a good thing really is. And then he renews your youth like an eagle. God will restore your energy in the name. Those are the benefits of God. Go to my next slide. Let me tell you about the nature of a loving God. Psalms 103 and 6 says this, the Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. You all, just hear me when I say this. We were in the back, and we had a panel of all ladies, and I was talking to Barbara and Mama Lisa here, and the word feminism came up, and I said, I hate that word. I don't think women trying to dominate men and you guys trying to run life and they, you know, women, they get you real fast. That ain't what feminism is. I said, what is feminism? They said feminism is really for women to get equal opportunity that men have. And Barbara said, Jason, you will be surprised at the gender gap studies of what women work in the same job as men and they don't get the same pay. She said it's really just equaling the gap. And then I began to think about racism. I began to think about all the things that happen in life. And I know that my God is a God of justice. And what he does is he levels the playing field so that everybody has the right opportunity to be successful in life. Anybody glad that God is a God of justice and he gives you equal opportunity? That is why God is raising many of you up to start businesses, to get in leadership positions, so you can give people the opportunity that they justly deserve. On the other side of that, many of us have oppressed ourselves. You have got yourself in debt. You've got yourself in all kind of crazy positions. Thank God he's a God of justice. And he'll put you in the place where you need to be. Can I speak that over somebody's life in here? I don't care what a hole you are in right now. You may have got yourself in that place, but God is the God of justice. He puts you on equal playing field, not to do it again, but so that you can live out your purpose in the name of Jesus. The next thing is this. He said he has made known his ways to Moses and his acts to the children of Israel. I'm like, God, what in the world does that have to do with us now? He said, Jason, it's about revelation. He said, I'm not trying to keep anything from you. When I pray for people, they say, I don't know what God wants to do in my life. Can you tell me what God's plan is for my life? God wants to show you exactly what he wants to do in your life. Let me give you a backstory on this. This year, Isaiah went to the MTSU basketball camp, the men's basketball camp. He's never played organized basketball, but he's fallen in love with it. His head is a little further than his physical ability. Y'all don't tell him yet, but let him think he's Michael Jordan in his head because I want him to have confidence. But years ago, I throw Isaiah the ball. He dodged it, hitting him in the face. I'm like, man, come on, let's go inside. We play hoop in this house. He ain't want to hoop. He discovered NBA 2K. He done got hooked on NBA 2K16 and NBA 2K17. He tells me every player, every stat. He goes back years ago and tell me about Michael Jordan and the 92, about the, what was it, 95, 96 Bulls. He's telling me about Magic Johnson. He's telling me about Dwayne Wade. And he just has this great revelation. It's hot. We outside and we practicing, dribbling the ball. And I go inside and said, Isaiah, I'm hot. I'm going in. He got two balls, dribbling, sweating. You know why basketball makes sense to him now? Because he got a revelation of it. Some of you are the same way. The reason why stuff is boring to you and it's not making sense, you have no revelation of it. The way I feel about church now is not the way I felt as a teenager. I grew up in the church, and I sit there and listen to my pastor preach, and I knew he was about finished when he about tuned up. And he said, and God will, and everybody woke up right then. Everybody started clapping, make a way. And he'll pick you up. Everybody say, yeah, turn you around. I said, oh, he's about through right now. I said, let me go on clap because he's about to bring this thing on home. And I'd be up there clapping because I was ready to go to the park and shoot ball after we got out of church, after our mama cooked. I didn't care nothing about church. I was praying and nobody came to the altar. We had some repeat offenders every Sunday. They get saved every Sunday. I'm like, didn't it work last week? Coming up here again, I'm trying to go home. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Church didn't make sense to me until about my junior or senior year in high school. I discovered my purpose. I discovered I didn't have to walk around with low self-esteem and confidence. I didn't have to compare myself to anybody. And when God showed me who I was, he showed me what he wanted to do in my life. I was on the edge of my seat saying, feed me more. Because I knew that I was called to something and that what he was preaching was life to me. Nothing that I'm saying will make sense to you. Nothing, nobody, all the I have the dream messages in the world will connect with you until you discover why God has you here and what he wants to do in your life. Somebody say, I have a purpose. The next thing is this. It said the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger. Man, somebody ought to be glad that God is slow to anger in here. Some of us have got on God's nerves so bad because you've asked. Anybody ever prayed this prayer? God, if you just get me out of this, this side connects with me. I promise I'll never be in this situation again. And 2 days later, God, if you just get, I know I said it last time, but if you just get me, thank God he is slow to anger, and he's abounding in mercy. Isaiah and I, Barbara was at school on a Saturday morning. I said, Isaiah, we're going to go to Cracker Barrel and eat. And when I go to Cracker Barrel, I get just about the same thing, Mama's pancake breakfast. I get them blueberry pancakes. I said, go and warm that butter up. They warm the butter up. I said, make sure my syrup is warm when you bring. I need about four of them things. I ain't to the water point yet. I said, bring me sweet tea and extra lemons. egg scrambled with cheese, 4 pieces of bacon. I know. And I just pour it on there. And you know when you have something in your mind? I had them blueberry pancakes in my mouth. I said, Isaiah, you got to try them. You got to. I don't know, Daddy, about them. I said, Isaiah, you got to try them. This woman brought my food. She brought Isaiah's. She brought mine. She said, sir, I'm sorry I put your order in wrong, but we got regular pancakes. She done put some blueberries in a little cup. I said, what am I going to do with this? What you want me to do with this? She said, you can pour them on there, sir. It'd be like, this is not blueberry pancakes. I'm sorry. I can put them back in, but it'd take 10, 15 minutes. I said, no, just give me the thing. Just take them blueberries back with you, because they ain't the same. And I put my syrup on there, and I ate. But the whole time, Isaiah said, Daddy, you mad, ain't you? I said, how you know? You know, you look mad, and people say, what's wrong? Ain't nothing wrong with me. You're like, why are you screaming? I ain't screaming. Just, I was mad. And I got ready to leave, and she gave me my check. Y'all, she didn't even take them pancakes off there. I said, oh, no. I walked out of there. I said, you know what? Let's just get out of here. My appetite ruined. I still ate the half and pancakes, though. I walked out of there, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, go back and tip her. I think sometimes he on the loudspeaker. He talking to the table right here. He said, no, go tip her. I said, I don't really want to. He said, no, tip her. I tipped her, and he said, Jason, I'm the same way. He said, your tip is not an approval of her mistake. He said, but do you not know when she sees that you still tipped her knowing she made a mistake? What you are not tipping is the problem. You are tipping her potential. Because she's not going to walk around with shame and guilt because she screwed stuff up. She's now going to get confidence to get it together. You are the same way. The reason why God keeps blessing you and you keep messing up, it's not approval of your mistakes. It's not, oh, you messed up that time. No, it's God saying you got good in you. And I'm going to give you another chance. Is anybody here thank God for another chance? Not just a second chance, but another chance. That God is gracious, not saying that what you did was right, but he said, I'm going to give you another chance to get it together, because if her confidence was messed up, she would have not just messed up my order. She'd have second-guessed herself the whole day. So what God does is give you grace to preserve your confidence so that you can be who everything he called you to be. The next thing is this. 2 more and I'm through. Psalms 103:9 says, he will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. Here's the thing about God. He can't stay mad at you. You got that person in your life, hopefully you are, that you're just so in love with, that you just want to be mad, your blood is boiling, and they come to you smiling and grinning. Don't you grab my ear. Don't. I don't want to hear a mama. I don't want to hear a soft, kind word, because you know that smile does something to you. Now, don't you come over here with all that little stuff right now, just really little sweet words. No, you should have bought me something before you messed up. You got all these things going on because you know you can't stay mad at him. You're trying to stay mad at him. Here's the thing about God. He can't stay mad at you. His anger, yeah, God may get angry with you, but what anger does when it's filled with love, it produces you to do something. Anger and bitterness are two different things. I try not to throw off when I'm preaching, but I hear some preachers preach, and I hear some people sing, and when they preach about sin, they preach so bitter. God's going to expose you. You're in here messing up, hurting all these people, and messing up that, and you are messing up, but they're preaching out of hurt because they have been hurt by sin. The point of anger is driven by love. It's to bring you to restoration. Bitterness is driven by revenge. They want to see you lose everything. They want you to have a wreck. They want you to flunk out of school. They want nothing in your life to work right. But here's the thing about God. If God ever disciplines you, it's not to kill you. It's to correct an action that he does not want to see repeated. What God wants is for you to get it together and you to keep it together in the name of Jesus. That makes sense in here? Last point and I'm through. If I had a mic in my hand, I'd drop it after this one. Because when we read this first line, some of you ought to just run, just leave your car here and just run home because you're so happy. Scripture says, he has not dealt with us according to our sins. Boy, I can end the service right there. Because some of us know that if God dealt with us according to the junk that we've done, you would not be sitting here today. Y'all sitting here right now, but if the Lord put your life on the screen right here, and he let people see half the stuff you did, you put that church finger up and said, the Lord bless you. May the Lord watch between me and thee. While we're absent, one from another, you would be out this door. But God covers you. God protects you. God forgives you. And he says, he's not punished us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his mercy towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. Here's a great thing about God. He loves you. and he has removed your sin from you the moment that you ask for forgiveness. God has not dealt with you according to your sin. Thanks be unto God. I had this guy talking to me. He said, man, I cheated death. I got away from that situation. And I said, brother, you ain't cheat death. God just decided to give you life. I want to tell somebody, you didn't cheat death. You didn't cheat getting exposed. God decided that your purpose was greater than your mistake. And he gave you life, and he wants you to live out that life in the name of Jesus. The whole point of what I told you today, we serve a loving God. He's not that just bitter, just mad at the world, James Evan fussing God that you see in your head. He loves you. His hand is on your life. And the reason why things have not fallen apart is because he still has a plan for you. Amen. You've got benefits. He's forgiven you of all your iniquities. He's healed all your disease. He'll satisfy your mouth with good things. He'll redeem you from destruction. And he'll crown you with loving kindness because he's